Welcome to 10 Bestest,
where we sift through the noise so you don't have to.
Each week we share our 10 favorite things of the moment.
Anything goes.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to 10 Bestest. I'm Karen McFarlane Holman.
And I'm Brian Hart.
And we've got another doozy for you.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. And I get to go first. So I'm just going to launch right in. My first cool sheet. This is a mindset hack, and it is called lofty questions. And this comes about by when you're in a state of maybe just feeling not confident or maybe disgruntled with how something is going. And we tend to, as a default, we say, oh, why does everything go wrong with this? Why do I, you know, this sort of negative, why do I, and then fill in the blank with something negative. And so the point here with lofty questions is that you are giving these questions that you ask yourself an upturn. And so the way you do this is instead of saying, oh, why am I always broke? You turn it around and instead of using affirmations that a lot of people say like, I am wealthy, you know, sort of statements like that, you turn it into a question. And you start with the word why, and you say, why am I always abundant or why am I always wealthy? And the idea here, it is that it is working with the internal voices that we have with our head. It's working with our subconscious because we do tend to, the idea behind this is that if we are making a statement that we don't fully believe, then our subconscious will actually resist it a little bit and say, well, I'm not wealthy. You know, if you try to say this affirmation that maybe you don't believe is true, then there will be some resistance. But when you phrase it in a why question, and if you include the word always or at all times or something like that, it is again, it is speaking to your subconscious in a way that will make it more open and more, oh, that's a good question. Why am I? And to be asking these questions to yourself in a relaxed meditative state seems to help this. So this is an idea that several people have brought up. Christy Marie Sheldon is one of them, and Jonathan Claude is another one. I'll have links to those. And again, this is lofty questions.
Oh, wow. I really like that idea because, and these positive affirmations and things, they get mocked so much.
I think
because of that, because they just kind of sound silly or phony, or and there's something to that fake it till you make it mindset as well,
right?
But there is something about it where it's never quite clicked with me, so I like this approach to it.
Yeah,
kind of
do
achieving
too.
The same thing in a different angle, mm-hmm. and maybe a little more productive for some people, which
yeah,
is really cool.
Yeah, a little
cool.
bit of an approach, and it helps you have more gratitude, I feel like. You know, you ask, oh, why do I have this? And just thinking about the good things you do have as well, as well as the things you aspire to have or to be or to do. And so I set this cool sheet first, lofty questions, because I wanted lofty to be the name of this episode. So if you do want any information about any of the cool sheets we talk about in this episode, you can go to 10bestest.com/lofty.
All right. That's very cool. Well, thanks so much for sharing that.
You're welcome.
All right. My first cool sheet is a YouTube channel, and the YouTube channel is Justin Guitar. So as a little background, I am finally 45 years into my life taking a serious stab at learning how to play guitar. And this is something that I've wanted to do forever since I was young. And I just never did it. And then as I got older and older, I was just kind of in that mindset of, it's too late for me, or I don't have that musical talent, or whatever I would tell myself. Even though I knew that that wasn't true, but I just didn't have the time, all the usual excuses. And finally, after working with River City Rockstar Academy for 5 or 6 years now, 5 years, I think, I finally was like, you know what? I should actually learn how to play the guitar. And so I am taking one-on-one lessons right now, virtual, during the pandemic that we're time of recording. So those are invaluable, I think. One-on-one is definitely the way to go, or a group class in person or virtually, if that's what you have to do right now. But I really love supplementing that with a YouTube channel. And Justin Guitar is kind of the leader of YouTube channels of learning the guitar. He has 1.35 million subscribers, 990 videos, all free of these small bite-sized lessons. He actually, I think rather recently, taught himself to play left-handed just so he could learn what it was like to be a beginner again. So, you know, he still had a big grasp of musical theory, which I don't have, which is why it seems so overwhelming right now. But the finger positions, you know, working his muscles and muscle memory and even the rawness of hitting the strings, you know, until you get blisters, all of that he experienced again for the first time. And it really made him an even better teacher, even though he was already doing this for a really long time. It was a really cool idea of how dedicated I thought he was. Definitely check him out, Justin Guitar.
That's fantastic. Oh, I love that. And there are so many guitar teachers out there on YouTube.
Yes.
So it's really great to hear this from you, from a beginner. You're in there and you're experiencing it. So that's a really great vote of confidence. And I love that story about him.
Well, and you know, it's what's great about YouTube and what's also hard is there's so many. Just get lost. And there's a lot of really good ones, but even if you Google best YouTube guitar channel for beginners, he pretty much is universally right near the top, if not everybody's number one pick.
Oh, nice.
Just his style. Again, it's about personality, mm-hmm. his style, the way he teaches. He's got an accent. I think he's from Europe somewhere. So that always helps, you know. But just super friendly, just a real fun guy.
I wonder if I've seen him.
I bet you probably have. Even like just somewhere offshoot somewhere. Because he'll talk about, you know, specifics, like for people that really know how to play guitar. Oh, you want to learn this song? Okay, we'll go through this song right now. Jimi Hendrix, you know, Voodoo Child, whatever. And so he has specialties. It's not just for beginners, but that's kind of where his strong suit is, for sure, is for beginners. And like I said, when I take a one-on-one, it's, you know, a half hour, and it's amazing, but I need, like, further. I need to, like, pound this stuff into my head, so.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. So I just pulled him up. He's not the one I was thinking of.
Oh, okay, cool.
But I've seen him before. And I'm also wondering if you've ever run across Marty Music.
Marty Music. That doesn't sound familiar, but it might be another one of those things when I see him where I'm like,
maybe.
Oh, yeah, I know that guy.
And there are so many. He's, if you ever want a teacher who's super upbeat and just fun and like, oh, like your Uncle Marty or something, he's really great in that way.
Cool.
And I've learned some really good covers from him.
Oh, great. So, yeah, see, even experienced musicians like yourself can learn from these YouTube channels, which is really cool.
Excellent. All right. Thank you. That's so great. Okay, my next cool sheet. This has to do with the fact that right now I am on this massive learning curve of a whole bunch of different things. A lot of digital learning platforms and getting my own. I have a program set up myself and just learning a lot. And so I have been working with a lot of people who do know how to set up these learning platforms. And it's so difficult because we're all remote from each other. And one of my mentors is in Australia and she's trying to teach me how to set some things up and it's just too complicated. And so she makes what's called a Loom video for me. This is essentially Loom and there are a bunch of other ones, but I'm going to talk about Loom because I know it best. But essentially, there are a lot of these screen capture programs that you can use that just are so easy now. And you can quickly show someone how to do this, help someone with something. My brother uses it with my mom a lot, where you can see exactly what they see and you can integrate it. So Loom, they integrates just seamlessly into Gmail and so easy to play back and send. You can also do it on your phone. And I have just found it to be immensely helpful for me. You can also just capture what's on the screen and you can do a voiceover later if you want. And I've just found it to be great. And I do realize things like this have been around for a while, but they were more for only people who really knew video. Like Brian, I'm sure you've been doing it for years and years. But I think now having it so user-friendly, now anyone can just send these screen capture things to anyone else so quickly, learn it easily. And so, like I said, there's a lot of screen capture, but I'm talking about Loom.
Wow, that is cool. I have used other versions, but I don't know if I've heard of Loom. And what I like about it, as it becomes more popular, you get newer, easier versions. So
great.
And sometimes the standards are still good because they've been around and tried and true, and I kind of know how to use Camtasia or something like that. But this might be better for someone just getting into it or has new tools. That's really cool.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like a really cool resource. That's great. All right. My next cool sheet is a really good one. This is a book I just read, had read to me, and I'm actually going to read it again. It's called How to Be an Anti-Racist, and it's by Ibram X. Kendi. And this book will definitely challenge you, but that's a good thing. It talks a lot about the word racist and what it means to be a racist and how that's different from being not racist, which is not what you want to go for. You want to be an anti-racist because the opposite of racist is not racist, it is anti-racist. And he really breaks down his meaning behind that. And that right there in the very beginning was kind of a little bit of a mind shift for me. I just thought not being a racist was good. But I love how he goes way deeper into that you actually want to be an anti-racist. You want to go against the systems, change the systems, not just not be a racist. That in itself is kind of a racist term almost. So again, is a very challenging book. It'll trigger some people, but that's why I think it's so powerful. So I got the audio book where he reads it to me. I love it when the author reads their own book. And so that was very powerful. And it was super deep and dense, though. And so I actually went to my local bookstore just recently and bought another hardcover copy of it because I need to now look at the pages and highlight and reread it again. Some of my favorite quotes, let's see, there's so many. One either believes problems are rooted with groups of people as racists or locates the roots of problems of power and politics as anti-racist. So he does a really good job of breaking the definition down of what that means and how you can become an anti-racist. So check out the book, How to Be an Anti-Racist.
So glad you talked about this. Oh my gosh. I was also read the book, but I was read the book by my son who got the book.
Oh, wow.
And
cool.
We were on a train ride. Yeah. Up to Seattle. And he asked, yeah, mom, I'm reading this book. Do you want to read it with me? And so he read it out loud to me, several of the chapters at various points on our trip. And yes, it was so eye-opening. And you know, where he starts out with his stories of his life and then teaches you all these concepts that many of us have never heard. So yeah, I'm so glad you talked about it because it's something that's been important for a long time and it's finally reached a level where a lot of people are paying attention, finally, and we all have something to learn.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, it's going to challenge you, even as someone like myself, who is a white privileged person, but I consider myself, liberal views and pretty open and things like that. That actually can be a handicap sometimes. You think, oh, I already am fine. I know this stuff. That's usually not the case. It usually means you need to start doing some more reading. And in 2020, when Black Lives Matter really caught fire. Again, it's been around for a long time, but the movement really started to grow. And I kind of had this list of all of these books that I needed to start reading, including White Fragility, which you actually turned me on to. I think possibly your son also recommended one. And then Caste and How to Be Black, I think, is another one, which is a very different slant on it, too. They all could be cool sheets and might be in the future. So you're never complacent on where you stand on these kind of things. It's always good to challenge your views and get more information for sure.
Yes. Oh, thank you so much, Brian.
Very welcome.
That cool sheet. All right. My next one. This one is pretty specifically targeted at parents. It could also be for any grandparents or aunts that are hanging out with toddlers. And this is a website, and it's a resource, and there's also a course associated with it called Big Little Feelings. When this came out, this was established by two women, Kristen and Dina. And Dina's a child therapist and a parent coach. Kristen has two toddlers. And what they realized together is that there just weren't a lot of resources out there of how to handle unruly toddlers. And so they established this. And on Instagram, they went from zero to 1.2 million in less than a year. So that tells you that a lot of people were starved for their parenting tips. And so on there, if you go to their website, there is a freebie, as a lot of websites do, which I think is just great. And part of what they're hooking with is they're saying, hey, we can help you know exactly what to say when your toddler is losing their mind at bedtime or is protesting when it's time to leave the playground or things. I have these terrible memories when my kids were little and we're in the grocery store and we're trying to check out and my kids are screaming and you're just about to have a meltdown. And they are so helpful with so many things like this. So they have, like I said, a lot of resources on their website, but then you can also check out their course that they have. And they've just been transformative for a lot of people. And I can say that I sure wish I had known about this when my kids were younger. Big little feelings.
Oh, that is so cool. That sounds just wonderful.
So helpful.
And yeah, it's one of those things that you're like, oh, where was this? But I'm glad it's here now for sure.
Yes, yes. And this is something that, you know, you can be just killing it in all aspects of your life, and then you can just be completely brought down by a screaming toddler and just think, I'm a failure as a parent, you know. So it wreaks havoc with your whole just self-esteem and being in mental wellness. So if you can at least ratchet that part of your life up a little bit, if you have kids, then can be very, very helpful.
Well, that's cool. I know some new parents, so I'll send it their way.
Yeah.
Hopefully they're listening. All right, cool. My next cool sheet is actually another book. It's been a good year for books for me. And this one's actually called The Year of You, which is an innovative way to discover more about yourself, be more conscious about what you want, create a rich and fulfilling life through journaling prompt a day. So journaling prompt a day is not very new. But what I love about this book is each month you focus on one important area of your life. So in January, all the prompts lead to your personal identity. In February, it's the past. In March, you talk about the environment. In April, you talk about fun. May is career. June, relationships. July, growth. August, money. September, travel and adventure. October, health. November, spirituality. And December, the future. So I love how it takes this approach to take each month and kind of work on a section of yourself. And I think a lot of people already know, you know, you have to love yourself before you can love others. You have to know yourself, you know, before you can really grow as a person and have more fulfilling relationships. And so this book just really spoke to me in that way. And I happened to start it on January 1st, even though I bought it maybe in November, but you don't have to. If you bought it in November, you can, and you bought it on November 13th, you can start on that day and you can just go from there. And eventually you want to try to do it a year way through. And then I've got to imagine, I don't know, I'm still in January as we're recording this, just to start February. So I don't know if there's like a reflection at the end of each month or at the end of the book. I can't wait to find out because it's actually been very helpful. And I've wanted to journal for a really long time. And this has been one of the keys to actually get me to start doing it every single day. So I've done it the entire month of January for the first time ever. And a lot of it is because of this book, The Year of You.
Wow, what a testimonial that this book got you to journal. I mean, that says a lot because you've been talking about journaling
for a long time.
Many years.
Many cool sheets, many years just in our friendship all the time. You've bought me a book about it. Essentially kind of a couple different, a Stoic daily book, which would help for journaling, I think. And then also literally, forget what it's called, like a 2-minute journal, a physical book. And those are all great. And sometimes I go back to them for pieces of it, which is even better if you have more things in your arsenal to help with.
Right.
But this one just seemed to connect with me the most. And I think that's maybe the most important takeaway is find one that hits you and works for you and then go with that one. It doesn't have to be this one or one of our other ones, but once you find that, it's such a cool moment.
Absolutely. Oh, that's great. I'm so glad. And I am super interested in this book. So
yeah, it's fun. I think you'd like it a lot too. And it's relatively inexpensive, I think, online. I got a digital version, so.
Excellent. Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, it just so happens I'm going to talk about a book now. This is our book episode, apparently. Mine's a little bit different, though. It's called Liquid Intelligence. And this harkens back to both of us talked about Chemistry Cocktails YouTube channel. And it's essentially that, but book form, but way deeper than that. And it doesn't have to be just cocktails either. There is a lot of really amazing knowledge that's encapsulated in this book that has to do with things that maybe you just take for granted with drinks or with cooling down things or anything else. So it's definitely, if you want to geek out on drinks and especially cocktails, there's so much goodness in here. For example, like they'll just go into how ice forms and that whole story. In fact, I've talked about that as a cool sheet, how that because water is less dense than, or sorry, the ice is less dense than water. It flows to the top and all of that. So they'll bring in aspects of that, but also the whole idea of clear ice cubes and what's happening during the freezing process and all these things that do apply to other parts of your life. But then there's also like, hey, I want to make homemade soda. And they go into the best way to do that and all the aspects of it and the science of it. And they don't go too deeply into science, so you don't need to be scared off. If you're not a chemist, it's totally fine because all of it is explained in there. And then they have things like how to extract the sweet flavor of peppers without the spice. So there's other kind of cooking things that are folded in there. And it's just really fun and also very beautiful. There's nice photos, which I always love in any kind of these food or drink books. Liquid Intelligence.
Oh, now you really had me when you started talking about cooking and science and things like that.
Yeah.
I love that kind of stuff. So I'm glad that it covers not just drinks, but also some food stuff. That sounds super interesting. I do. I love books like that, and I haven't heard of this one. So I'm excited to check it out. Do you have a physical book or digital? Or
mine's digital.
Yeah.
But I will say I gobbled it up. I read the entire thing in one day.
Whoa.
Which I never do. So you can tell it's not a super long book. But yeah, I was so into it.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. I can't wait to check that out. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
All right. My next cool sheet piggybacks on my last book, but this is not a book, don't worry. It's an app, though. It's called Day One. This is kind of the premier journaling app for Apple. It was App of the Year. It was Apple's Editor's Choice. It won an Apple Design Award. I mean, it is really known as kind of the most elegant, beautiful app for iOS. I don't know if it's for Android as well, but I hope so. And again, I just had a hard time of getting this habit to journal every day. And I always wanted it to be physical journals because I just love that idea more, but it just wasn't happening. And again, you have to kind of figure out what works for you. And for me, this app worked. And it's funny because about the first of the year, every year is when I'm like, this is the year. And I realized that last year I paid for the membership because this one is free-ish, but it also, I think, is maybe $30 a year if you want the full feature set. And I actually did that last year in November and totally forgot and never used it. So then now that actually motivated me even more to use it this year to renew my yearly membership and really start using the feature set. And what I like about it is it works with my laptop, my phone, everything that's around me. And, you know, it has that cross communication where you update it on your laptop, it'll show up on your phone, vice versa. So it's very easily update quickly. You can also set it so when you post on Instagram, you can use a third-party app like if This Then That, or I forget the name of it, where it will automatically post all your Instagrams, and they can be like tag specific. So if you tag journal or day one, then those only, or it'll be everything, or everything you tweet, or everything you put on Facebook. And that way it just kind of gives you extra little journal insights, but then it has daily prompts as well. But I coincide it with the book. It's wonderful. Day one.
That is cool. That's a cool sheet.
It is officially now.
I am so curious. I really want to check it out and see what it's like. And I love that it integrates your postings, your social media posts. Because, we do. Sometimes we are so moved and we want to share something with people. And then we don't think to journal about it because at least me, I feel like, I've already put it out there. And so I don't need to put it down there on in my journal. That's cool.
Yeah, because you can leave it as just the picture, or you can reflect a little bit on that picture. Why did that mean something to you? Why did that, if you want to go a little bit deeper, why did that picture move you? What does it mean? Why is that speaking to you at this point in your life? You know, it really sparks this journal entry if you wanted to, or it can just be the picture. And like I said, obviously, because it's won all these awards, it's beautiful. It is drop dead. The design is so gorgeous. And that really, to me, just does make a difference. I love good design. So that really helps as well.
And I assume they have a free trial?
Well, they have a free version. And I forget the difference now that I have the paid of what you can and can't do with the free versus the paid. But it has you can go fully free and you can do at least a watered down version of it. So maybe you can't integrate. Maybe you can't do some of those things. But you can add voice messaging, pictures, text. It knows where you took, so it has geolocation. If you want, you can also disable that, but it'll tell you where you were, where you took it. You can catalog it of just pictures or just locations. And it's so robust when you have the paid version. You certainly can't do all those things with the free version, but you can definitely journal every day.
And can you use a stylus or type?
Yes, you can. I think you can. I think that I did. I haven't done that. And obviously, you can't really use a stylus on your phone and certain applications because it doesn't work on the phone pad. Mm. It would on an iPad, though.
Yeah, I'm thinking about my iPad because I have a stylus. Yep.
And I'm pretty sure that I did see that. I just don't use my iPad that often, but maybe that's a good reason to break it out again. But I thought I saw something where it said you can handwrite stuff as well.
I really like journaling by hand.
Yeah. So I think you'd be good with that too.
Nice. All right. Woo. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm already to my last cool sheet. And here's another science one. I can't help myself. All right. So I'm going to be talking about carbon-based life forms. This is something that comes up especially I would say with science fiction books and talking about life on other planets or other parts of the universe, maybe being based on some other element. Silicon, I know, has come up in some movies and things like that. But I just wanted to bring up that carbon is an amazingly unique element and that it is not a coincidence that we are carbon-based. And I would not be surprised at all, and neither would Neil deGrasse Tyson, because I've heard him talk about this as well, that if we find life somewhere, that they would also be carbon-based. Okay, so here is the reason for that. And if we want to imagine, I'm going to use Legos. I've used Legos before, but they're so good with talking about elements bonding together, that if you have certain Lego blocks, some of them can fit more other Lego blocks to them. If they have more of those little nodules on the top, then you can click more other pieces to them. But if they're small, then you can only fit a couple. And also, you can really only, in most Lego pieces, you can only attach things to the top and to the bottom when you're clicking them together. Carbon, if you want to use that as an example, then carbon has essentially places where you can click on other things on all sides of it. That allows for way more different permutations of how carbon can be bonded together. Other things can be bonded to it that give it special reactivity, making bigger molecules like proteins, like DNA, like RNA, like all of these other things. Ultimately, with carbon, there are millions and millions of different organic compounds, organic meaning carbon-based compounds that are possible. Whereas if you look at any other element on the periodic table, you will not get that property. Carbon is very special, and therefore carbon-based life forms are the jam.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that. And, you know, it's funny because this probably seems silly to you, but from a non-scientific layman's terms, you know, you just hear the word carbon. A lot of the time you kind of have a gut reaction of like, oh, that's bad. Carbon emissions, you know, carbon dioxide, all of these things you might think. But the fact that, no, that's not all that carbon is. And in fact, it's the like most important building block of life is pretty amazing. Yeah. I remember the first time I was probably talking to you or someone else, and I was like, oh, you know, that seems silly now, but I never really thought about the practicality of that. You know, I just think of like the bad forms of carbon substances that I was always trying to fight, you know, carbon emissions.
Yeah, totally. Oh, that's so interesting.
So, I really like that.
Well, and I have to add something else to that. That the term organic is always good. Like, ooh, it's organic.
Yeah,
well, guess what? Organic means carbon. And pesticides, like toxic pesticides and other really bad things, are also out of carbon. And you could call them organic from a chemist's point of view.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and your specialty is non-organic, right?
Inorganic,
And so you sometimes people like would. Not
is that
understand
bad?
What that means. Yeah,
yes,
I think
exactly.
That you're doing, I don't know what.
Yes. So much more to talk about there. Okay.
Yeah, very cool. All right. Well, this actually, my last cool sheet is kind of a sciencey thing too. And it didn't start out that way, but I want to talk about a kitchen utensil material, and that's silicone. So at first I was just going to talk about my newest silicone utensil that I'm totally in love with. But then I was like, you know what? I actually forgot that how much I own that silicone and why I love it, because I am very anti-plastic. But the great thing about food grade silicone is it is made without petroleum based chemicals. It's BPA, BPS, or fillers. So it's safe to store food, put in the microwave, freezer, oven, and the dishwasher. So versatile. Usually really good silicone also can handle a very, very high heat threshold. So in the 500, 600 sometimes, which is also rare, especially if you're talking about a rubber product or even wood. I have many wooden spoons that have different colors on them now because they've been burned. They still work great, but silicone, you never get that. And so the silicone gadgets that I have that I like so well, I do have food storage bags because I hate plastic Ziploc bags. I don't want to use them. So I finally got some silicone ones that I can actually clean and reuse. I also have a basting brush that works. So when I baste things, I use my silicone basting brush. I have a Canlay baking mold, which is a really specific one use. But if you've ever had a Canlay, you'll understand why it's valid to have this one use item, because they are incredible. I also have a silicone baking mat, which is a lifesaver. So these, instead of getting a non-stick, I'm not down with Teflon, but I love silicone. And you can put it over your metal baking rack, but then it will non-stick. You don't always have to use a spray or in some other kind of chemical. And what I have right now, what I just got that inspired this whole thing, is the Get Right brand spatula. So it's a one piece. It's one silicone. So I used to have a silicone tip with a wood handle. And then I noticed when I was cleaning it one day that underneath it got really moldy and gross. And it just freaked me out, but this is all one piece. It's a Get Right. You'll see it in our show notes, but check out silicone.
I love it. I love it. And let me just tell you a little bit more. So
yeah, please.
The element silicon is not so surprisingly in silicone, and silicone is this long polymer chain that's silicon, oxygen, silicon, oxygen, silicon, oxygen. It's just a long, long chain. But there are carbons that stick out from it. And then those long chains are what we call cross-linked, like they're kind of bonded together, which is really typical for that. So anyway, yeah, super stable, non-toxic. I also trust it way more than Teflon. I mean, Teflon.
Yeah, or plastic or rubber, rubber stuff. All of that. I've always tried to eliminate that. But to find a suitable substitute was very difficult for a while.
Yeah.
And now, thank goodness, there's so many. And I didn't even realize how many silicone things I had until I took this little inventory. And I'm like,
that's
oh,
so
wow.
Great.
Yeah, I actually have a lot. That's,
I love
that's
it.
Cool.
And I'm so glad to hear about that gadget you talked about, the one piece. What's it called again?
It's called a Get Right brand.
The Get Right. Okay.
Yeah. And if you notice, I don't know if it's just now or it's now that I have one, but whenever I watch cooking show videos with pro cooks, they all have that exact same spatula that I have. Because it's just, it's, you know, when you get a good one, there is no replacement for it. And it's the one. I was like, wow, this is game changer. Yeah. And that's what I was originally going to talk about. And I'm like, this is going to be really weird to just talk about a spatula as a cool sheet, even though it could be. But then I was like, you know what? There's a bigger picture here.
Absolutely. So good. So. Oh, that's fantastic. Yay, silicone.
Yeah.
Well, that's a wrap. What a fantastic show. Lots of chemistry. Yay.
Yeah, it's a good one.
All right, everyone. Well, thank you for joining us again. And please, if you've been enjoying 10 Bestest, give us a rating and review. We would so much appreciate it. Check out our show notes at 10bestest.com/lofty and stay curious. Want to learn more about this week's cool sheets?
Head on over to 10bestest, that's 10bestest.com, for links to all of our cool sheets.
And sign up for our monthly newsletter with bonus cool sheets and other fun stuff.
10 Bestest will be back with an all-new episode next Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern.